In her book of 2008, I believe, called The Gift of Imperfection, research professor Brené Brown openly shares her journey into finding herself. She refers to her journey as the year of her unraveling. And in her 2007 blog, she somewhat tongue-in-cheek refers to that experience in just this way. Breakdown? No. Spiritual awakening? Yes. In her book, Dr. Brown talks about coming to terms with who she thought she ought to be and embracing who she really is. She says it this way: the unraveling is a time when you are challenged by the universe to let go of who you think you are supposed to be and embrace who you are. Long after that unraveling began, she wrote of her experience. She said, one day I realized, oh my God, I feel different. I feel joyful and real. Something has happened. I changed. I can feel it in my bones. It was a real spiritual awakening. To my mind, that is where we find ourselves this morning. If you have been able to be present with us in worship for the past 11 weeks, you will remember that we started on Christmas Eve. Actually, we began in Advent, but I'm going to deal with Christmas Eve and move to today, which we have called in the church Transfiguration Sunday. You and I have been on a journey, a time to engage in a spiritual conversation about who we are in the presence of God. And we have come to wrestle with figuring out God's place for us in the light of Jesus. Over the past 6 weeks, we have been encouraged to embrace our belovedness, recognize our name, discover and claim our call and purpose. We have been called to embody beatitude living, to live life with integrity, and to cultivate our relationship with God. All of that in the light of Jesus, born under a star in Bethlehem. Now, here's my confession. I have not been in worship every Sunday for the last 11 weeks. Some of them I have a very good excuse for not being here. And I didn't enter into all of these spiritual conversations. But today I come to you with a sense of awe as I am a part of this worship experience. I think I understand what Brené Brown felt as she was slogging through her time of unraveling. And then when she finally exclaimed, oh my God, I feel different. I feel joyful and real. Something has changed. I can feel it in my bones. Here we are on this Sunday morning before Ash Wednesday, seeking and maybe even longing to find ourselves in the story of Jesus' life and ministry, and ultimately in his death and resurrection. Here we are listening to and in our mind's eye looking on as Jesus takes three of his most trusted followers to a high, isolated place to reveal his most intimate self. Matthew's gospel helps us understand that like his forebears, Moses and Elijah, this is who Jesus is meant to be. Everything that has transpired in Jesus' ministry, in his teaching, in his healing, in his calling and claiming, the rebuking and the corrections and the reconnecting to God, the God of creation, everything in Matthew's gospel points to who Jesus was meant to be from conception to birth, birth to adolescence, and adolescence to adulthood. This is who Jesus is meant to be. Our six-week epiphanal spiritual conversation continues as we see Jesus today. In a different light, though. Before this moment in the story, he was Jesus, charismatic handyman from Nazareth, whose passion for justice propelled him into the spotlight. But now, on this mountaintop moment, he is Emmanuel, God with us, beloved messenger of salvation. We can hear the intimate witnesses, Peter, James, and John, say almost in unison, something has changed. I can feel it in my bones. The culmination of our six-week spiritual conversation with Matthew's gospel comes down to this. Asking the questions. Where do I as an individual, where do we as a congregation find ourselves in the story of Jesus' transformation? Who are we in light of Jesus' teaching and healing, correcting and guiding? Can we see ourselves as claimed by God's grace? Can we see ourselves as a beloved child of God? Do we hear our name spoken for a special purpose? Have we been changed by Jesus' teachings? Have we been set free to live as we are called to be and not as others expect us to be? Have we renewed our intimate relationships with God? Who are we in light of Jesus? Who are we in the light of Jesus? Please take a look at this slide that is before you. Take a moment to soak it in. 15th century artist Raphael, I think I pronounced that correctly, depicts Jesus' transfiguration. To my mind, he shows the dichotomy of this mysterious event that we call Jesus' transfiguration. We see that Jesus is lifted up in the light of God's glory on a mountaintop, and yet we see as well that in the plains, the reality of human life still exists. Jesus is in great light, and his followers, Peter, James, and John, are there looking on in awe. They see the change right before their eyes. But what happens next? They don't stay on the mountain. The story doesn't end there. Jesus does not stay on the mountain bathed in the glorious light of God. He descends. He comes down into the reality of life. He goes to the seaside and into the valleys, and he ministers to those who are in need. He ministers to those who are in need of God's grace. Now, here is something I want you to know about these folks who were pictured in this particular mountaintop experience. And here's how we might find ourselves in this story. Moses was a reluctant leader. He stuttered. He didn't see himself as being worthy of leading God's people into the promised land. Elijah was a coward. He ran away when he heard that Queen Jezebel had ordered his arrest. Peter claimed his undying allegiance to Jesus, but then in those last, most crucial moments, he denied knowing Jesus not once, but three times. Brothers James and John were also renamed Sons of Thunder. Jesus named them that because they had such great zeal for Jesus' teachings, and they wanted to get it done immediately. They became a part of Jesus' inner circle, and they were willing to walk away from economic and familial security just to follow Jesus. We do find out that James was martyred at an early age, and John lived a very long life. We might think that those who travel high onto the mountaintop with Jesus were greater disciples than we who are here today. But in reality, we are all just human beings. Having all of this information before you, can you find yourself in the story of Jesus' transfiguration? I'm there. I think you're there. I think we're all there. You, me, we have been named and claimed to follow. We have been schooled and sent from the glorious mountaintop to the valley below where reality lives. We have been called to follow the one who chooses to feed the hungry, to give water to those who are thirsty, to welcome the stranger, to clothe the naked, to heal the sick, and to visit those who are imprisoned. That's who we are in the light of Jesus. That is who we are in the name of Jesus. Come, let's find our place in the story.